It's my absolute pleasure. I'm very fond of the area, specifically Manuka.
Well, I guess you should be. You and I are both graduates of Manuka Community High School. Your dad was a history teacher at Manuka, right?
No, he was at Shanahan Junior High. He taught social studies, which was fascinating then, so I never had him. But half my high school classmates had my dad.
Well, I'm going to have to fix your wiki page then, because it says here your dad taught at a high school in Manuka, but it was at the Shanahan Junior High, huh?
Yeah, which is one of the two junior highs that feed into Manuka High School.
Well, so then maybe we just ought to walk through your wiki here. Born in Joliet, June 26, 1970, correct?
That's correct.
It says here you were raised Catholic in nearby Manuka, and you attended Manuka Community High School and got a BFA from the University of Illinois in 1993. His parents were initially bewildered on his desire to become an actor, stating, quote, "It was bizarre to them. Nobody in our town had ever gone into the arts. So when I said, I think I want to be an actor, everybody kind of shook their head and said, I don't think you can get there from here."
Yeah, that is correct.
Were you in the plays in high school? Were you in the arts to the degree Manuka offered it?
I was. I kind of did everything I could get my hands on. I played saxophone in the jazz band. I played the trap set in the pit orchestra. I performed in the plays and the musicals, marching band. But it was just such a cultural vacuum. Like, no one from the entire sphere ever went into the arts.
Yeah.
And so the town just didn't have a very high opinion of its cultural offerings.
Well, it was a few years back, and it's a small farm town there in Grundy County. It's a little bigger now. But then in the school plays, you must have just killed, huh? I mean, were you just fantastic?
Well, for Manuka, I was like Anthony Hopkins, relatively speaking. But on the football team in the backfield, I was also incredibly fast and enormous. And as soon as I got to Champaign-Urbana, I realized that was a very small pond I was swimming in.
Yeah, I wondered about that. I mean, you look like a pulling guard. Did you wrestle or play sports? Were you on the football team at Manuka?
I played baseball, basketball, and football, and I was actually thinner. I didn't really fill out till my 20s, so I was actually a really fast cornerback or free safety or floating linebacker.
Yeah, right.
I loved it. I was the headhunter on the kickoff team. I really loved the tackling. But I had the school record for a while for interceptions in a season as well. I used to be nimble.
Wow, very impressive. Well, we'll have to put that in your wiki or IMDb page too.
What year did you graduate?
1977. So I was about 12 years before you. Your IMDb page has the four things that you're known for. You know how that works, right? And do you know what the four things are that are listed under what you are best known for on IMDb?
I think so. Parks and Rec.
One.
We're the Millers.
Two.
The cartoon The Great North.
Nope.
No? How about The Last of Us?
The Last of Us is three and Devs is four.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's hard to pick because you want to give things their equal representation. And it's weird. I've had good luck, so I feel like I have several things that are of equal value. You know, as an actor in Hollywood, I'm just lucky I got a job.
Well, you have a very diverse career. I mean, it's interesting you say that, because my understanding is that the people on IMDb do get to pick the things they're known for. And we play a game on the radio sometimes where, can you guess the four things X celebrity is known for? But you'd have done so much voice work over the years that you really, like, you've excelled in TV, you've excelled in film. And as a voice actor, you have a very deep resume, don't you?
I have, yeah. I have been lucky enough to do a bunch of animated work, as well as one of my favorite things to do is read books, do books on tape. So all of that stuff, thing is that even if I'm one day not as impossibly cute as I am right now, I still might be able to entertain people using just my voice.
Was it hard for you maybe to get producers or scouts to notice you because you are so dry and your voice is just so pronounced but also deliberate? I wonder if anybody said, dude, you got to like amp it up a little bit, or no, this is perfect, stay in that lane, they're going to get it.
Well, it took me a long time. I suppose whenever I tried harder to maybe sound or homogenize my delivery to be more mainstream, mm-hmm. of course, that was not being true to my nature or my sense of humor. And so, of course, I failed. There are much better people, there are much better non-specialists who have already mastered that part of the genre. And so, you know, it was in my late 30s. It was when I got my big break on Parks and Recreation that suddenly that legitimized my dry humor and my deadpan.
Yeah.
And so now it's funny. I can say the same sentence before and after Parks and Rec, and now people understand.
Now they get it. But that does lead me to that question of, if I don't know Nick Offerman, I know your dad, but I do know Ron Swanson. And would it be fair to say that you are as much like Ron Swanson as any other character I know you for?
I suppose, yeah. I mean, there are idiosyncrasies that are the product of the brilliant comedy writers. But I mean, at heart, his work ethic and his cadence and his personality are all, you know, drawn from my own toolbox. And so they're all pretty recognizable.
And then I suppose once they caught you, they started to write to you, right? Like those lines were delivered or written specifically for Nick Offerman as Ron Swanson.
I would say that's correct. I mean, I just did a bit a couple nights ago on The Daily Show.
I saw.
And I got to write it with their brilliant room of writers. And we were sort of enjoying the fact that there are certain things you can write that are not particularly funny on the paper, but when you add my sort of ridiculous amount of gravitas, suddenly it becomes hilarious.
Right, right. What about that? What's been the fallout in the last 24 hours since you did that?
Well, it's nothing new that, you know, that I come down on the side of decency and common sense, and that is often at odds with the people running our country. And, you know, I mean, it's you can't objectively argue with the fact that there's just a lot of, you know, besides a lot of ugly personality traits in the White House, there's also just abject stupidity. The things coming our way are quite frustrating. Usually, you know, we are at least just dealing with the usual skullduggery of American politics, but now thrown into the mix, we have somebody with powerfully limited mental capacities, and that's makes the gravy a lot tougher to swallow.
And there you were advocating for parks and recreation on The Daily Show, among other things. But as I recall, your point was that we are cutting back the spending on parks, which are something families can do for free and may actually turn a profit. Why in the world would you cut funding for national parks? Was that the thrust of your news?
It is, yeah. And it's a small part of a larger conversation that we, you know, we continue to look at everything as, in terms of its profitability, you know, selling off our public lands, abusing our natural resources, living unsustainably as though the only form of success in modern life is if you can make a dollar off it or not, what will we leave for our grandkids to to make furniture out of or make their books out of, etc.
Touche. Let's just go back to Manuka and then I'll let you go. So this is your hometown series and Manuka's the town, and Nick Offerman is a graduate of Manuka Community High School. His dad is still the mayor. Last I talked to your dad, it was about should they put a great big data farm there in Manuka, and he's trying to navigate the use of water and all these complex issues. Do you get back to town? Do you talk to your dad about life in Manuka much?
I do. I mean, I visit at least a couple times a year, and thanks to my work touring, sometimes I get there four or five times a year. And so not only my mom and dad, but my siblings, there are actually close on 40 family members within about a 10-mile radius.
Wow.
Megan and I are the only black sheep that don't live in or near town. And so especially and not only, you know, is dad the mayor, but he's been on the village board for years. The family is involved in different levels of service for the community. So I have an uncle on the village board. My sister was just elected, who's a powerful, runs the Three Rivers Library System.
Yeah,
she was just elected to be the president of the Rotary Club. All these family members lead these lives of service, so I'm always really interested, and now especially in the sort of executive level conundrums that my dad is wrestling.
Really,
the issues on his desk are much more intense than would have been on my grandfather's desk when he was the mayor 30 or 40 years ago. Did you know that my dad's dad was the mayor before him?
I don't think I knew that. I've only talked to your dad about that and about Manuka stuff, and I don't know that he mentioned that his father was in the same seat. Maybe you should come back and run for office someday and continue the trilogy.
Well, whenever anyone suggests that, I say my older sister, Lori, is much more suited, and she's knocking off the accolades. She's ready to move in as soon as they'll have her. Nice. But I mean, it's really interesting, you know, to see my dad dealing with the nuts and bolts issues of things,
man.
Like, you know, a huge industrial concern wants to move into your little farm town. Do we have the infrastructure? Do we have the resources to support that? And will it be equitable for all the citizens of our town, and so forth?
And those aren't easy answers. And when he and I talked about that, I said, did you sign up for this? And his answer, as I recall, may have been no. I'd like to see you and Megan walk into Cookie's restaurant there in Manuka on Main Street sometime. Sit down at the bar, order a steak. That would turn some heads.
It certainly wouldn't hurt my feelings. I was there a year ago. It's one of the most powerfully nostalgic places in town, perhaps because it's one of the only places left relatively unchanged since I was a kid. And in fact, one of the first things I started doing for a wage was washing dishes in the back room at Cookie's.
I didn't know that.
But
well,
I'll appreciate you keeping that between us, because I don't think I ever filled out the proper tax paperwork.
Well, I wonder if you did when you worked at the video store, because there was a video store in town which had VHS tapes. And I've been told that you worked there as well for a guy named Jeff, who was dating my sister. So my sister sometimes worked at the store, and legend has it that she would sometimes give you a box of videos and say, here, put these back up on the shelf.
Yeah, that is fully vetted. That's real news. I was an employee of MixFlix.
Yeah.
For several years, and we also had a couple of tanning beds in the back.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
People's dating lives.
Thank you for that service. Well, I don't. One last thing, maybe two, but I know we're going long here. But I was walking down the street the other day with a cool shirt. It's my favorite summer shirt from the Roosevelt Company Shirt Company. And one of the shirts, it's a short sleeve button shirt, and it has a whole bunch of little figures on there. And one of them is a Ron Swanson shirt, or maybe it's a Nick Offerman shirt, but it's a million little pictures of you and then stakes and logs and manly stuff. And I always get complimented on it. Are you familiar with this shirt? Are you getting any of that action?
I'm not. Ever since the internet arrived, it no longer pays to be litigious about with regard to one's image. I mean, at the turn of the millennium, at Y2K, if you wanted to make a T-shirt with my face on it, you had to get a hold of me and cut me in, you know, for a percentage or at least get permission. And once the internet arrived, everybody's image just kind of became fair game. And so there are many T-shirts and pillows and mugs and probably punching bags with my face emblazoned across them. And, you know, when it started, it's a wonderful problem to be faced with, to be on a comedy that is, you know, that is popular enough that anyone cares to put you on a shirt. And I called my lawyer and said, hey, don't people usually get a percentage when they sell a T-shirt of you? And they said, yeah, but this is like dozens of small operators around the country. Like, it would cost you more to do the paperwork to go after them than, you know, the price of a sandwich that you'll probably get out of them if it pays off. And I said, all right, then I'll wipe my hands and say, with my blessing, please disseminate my wide Midwestern face to the masses.
Yeah, maybe it wouldn't look good, too, if you were just chasing down some little mom-and-pop guy. Even though they're stealing from you, it might not look good for you to come down on them, right? Well, listen, we have enjoyed your work, and I know the town is proud to call you its own. And if you get back to Chicago and Minooka, I'd be happy to treat you to lunch, or maybe we'll get you in the studio. But continued success, Nick. It's really nice to talk to you today.
It's my pleasure, and I'll always be grateful for growing up in such a wholesome community that taught me good manners and a work ethic. And those two attributes are a big part. If I'm having any success, it's because of the way I grew up in Minooka, Illinois.
Okay, well done, Nick. Thanks for your time. Good luck. Thank you, sir.
Hey, let me ask you real quick. My eyebrows shot up when the paperwork came in on a couple different notifications about this call. Was John Landecker?
Yeah, he still works here.
Yeah, how did his name come to be on, like, is he still on the radio?
You know, you and I listened to him as kids when he was on WLS playing records, and then he got out of the DJ business, and the people here loved him, and they offered him a talk show, so he's on our station weeknights from, what, Ashley, 9 to 11, right? 7 to 10, pardon me, 7 to 10. You should call in on his show and blow his mind.
AM 89 WLS. John Records Landecker.
Truly is my middle name. Yeah, keep going.
Part of my youth.
Really? How so?
Well, that's all we had. That was the only good radio station for, if you were a teenager, then on Saturday nights you could... In the mid-80s, you could start getting breakdance music. But John's daughter, Amy Landecker, is a good friend of mine. I saw her a bunch last year because she's married to Bradley Whitford. And we were in Budapest together for 5 months shooting a Netflix series about President James Garfield. And so I grew up in the Chicago theater scene with Amy Landecker, and was astonished that I was starstruck to be working on stage with the daughter of a Chicago radio luminary.
So did you ever call in on the boogie check then?
No. There was a wide gulf between my WLS days and my adult theater days.
Well, he'll be thrilled. I'll play this back for him, but go ahead, do your shout out, do your introduction for John Landecker then.
Please tell him I'm very grateful for his incredible DJ skills and wholesome influence on my young years.
Yeah, well, he's still an influence around here, too. I'll pass that along, Nick.
I sure appreciate it. Thank you for being gentle with me.